This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The buzzards are circling REFCO.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The futures trading giant isn't dead per se, but REFCO is gasping for water on the side of a hot desert highway. Several companies are hoping to swoop in and buy REFCO's businesses. REFCO's advisors are mulling a bankruptcy filing, meanwhile. You may not have even heard of the company until a few days ago, but it's on the verge of collapse after its CEO was accused of shuffling hundreds of millions in debt on and off the books. Private equity firm J.C. Flowers is considered a top contender in the REFCO sweepstakes. Today, new bankruptcy laws take effect, not for businesses, but for personal filings. The new rules make it harder to duck into Chapter 7, where you can wipe out all your debts and start over again. Sarah Gardner reports.
Under the new law, debtors who earn less than their state's median income can still file for Chapter 7 bankruptcy to wipe out their debts. The American Bankers Association estimates the new rules will force only 5 to 10% of filers to declare under Chapter 13, which requires partial repayment. The ABA's Laura Fisher says the bankruptcy system is still there for debtors.
People are going to find the system as sympathetic and fair.
But consumer advocates contend that other provisions of the new law will prevent many struggling families from erasing their debts. Ed Mierzwinski is at U.S. Public Interest Research Group.
It allows creditors to file all kinds of expensive court motions to challenge your qualifications as a low-income debtor.
In addition, all debtors now face higher filing fees and are required to take credit counseling at their own expense. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Congress gets back to work today after a week off. In the House, lawmakers will find a nice hot potato on their desks, whether to give gun makers immunity from certain lawsuits. As Scott Tong reports, it's already passed the Senate.
The bill would protect gun makers and dealers from civil liability cases where the industry is accused of negligent or reckless behavior, and it would toss out existing suits. The industry bills it as tort reform to fend off, quote, frivolous lawsuits. But keep in mind, those suits hardly ever go anywhere. Law professor Gary Kleck is with Florida State.
The gun industry has essentially won every case eventually. Typically, plaintiffs don't get past the preliminary stage before a judge will dismiss the case.
Gun control groups consider the lawsuits necessary. They say the industry's underregulated. But Kleck says the suits drain the companies financially, forcing them to buy costly liability insurance. If the bill passes the House, the White House has indicated its support. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Yet another company wants to do a deal for AOL. We've told you about Microsoft's interest. Last week, all the talk was about Google and Comcast seeking a deal. Now word is that Yahoo wants in on the action. All the parties are said to be courting Time Warner for some kind of partnership. Wall Street rallied Friday thanks to GE earnings and some inflation numbers. The Dow closed up 70 points to 10,284. The S&P 500 index gained 9 to finish at 1186. NASDAQ climbed 17 to 2064. For the week, the NASDAQ slid well over 1%. The Dow barely moved. You're listening to Marketplace. You know those calorie labels on food packages? A lot of people find them helpful. Now, two consumer groups want to see those labels on beer, wine, and liquor. Ashley Milntite reports.
The National Consumers League and Shape Up America say given the country's burgeoning waistline, adding an alcohol facts panel to beer, wine, and spirits bottles could help rein in consumer excesses. But Tom Perko, an advisor to the food and drinks industry, says we already live in an era of information overload.
People don't make the purchasing decision based upon what's on the label. So even though the manufacturers may resist having to clutter up their labels and divulge various things, it's not deterministic.
Perko says when it comes to alcohol, people usually buy something they see as enhancing their lifestyle. He says even if labels with calorie and alcohol content per glass do turn up, consumers aren't likely to take much notice. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Reuters, reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
General Motors and the United Auto Workers chatted late into the night about cutting employee health coverage. They may announce a deal today. The union's also having wage and benefit talks with Delphi. Newsweek's Alan Sloan says UAW workers should get used to a new lifestyle.
The UAW over the years got deals from auto companies and parts companies and so on that gave the members a reasonably good salary, but tremendous health benefits, tremendously good retirement benefits. And now the whole U.S. auto industry, the old unionized part of it, is starting to turn up its toes. And the question is, what's going to be left for the workers?
So is this a case where the unions pushed and pushed over the years for these wages and benefits, and now it's almost impossible for the company to afford them?
There are two problems. The first problem is the unions out-bargained the companies. The second thing is the companies are, frankly, not very good at running their businesses. To me, what's happened here is that the company made promises to the workers for pensions and health care benefits and retirement that it now isn't going to be able to afford to pay. And it might be nice before we all destroy ourselves with strikes and various disasters if the companies, in addition to asking the workers to sacrifice something, would actually sacrifice something themselves, like executive pay and stock dividends for the shareholders. Because to me, it's unreasonable to expect the workers to pay for all of this.
You mentioned pensions, and for workers in these unions, that's a pretty scary thing, seeing your pension disappear if that's the case. Where does that stand with Delphi and GM?
With Delphi, it's going to get extremely nasty because Delphi is now in bankruptcy. Delphi's pension funds have way too little in them to be able to pay the benefits that Delphi promised. According to Delphi, the hole in its pension fund at the end of the year was $4.5 billion, which in the scheme of things is not all that much money. According to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is a federal agency that insures pensions, the hole is almost $11 billion.
And when you add all that money into the airline pensions, for example, the government has a huge bill here to pay off. Is it going to be able to pay it?
There are only two ways to deal with this. One way is to hope that all the pension funds get better. And the other thing is to do something about it, which I can't imagine this federal government doing until there's some sort of crisis, like the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation actually runs out of money. I don't know how this is going to work out. The one thing I do suspect is that it's going to work out not well for the United Auto Workers, and it's going to be very nasty.
Alan Sloan is Wall Street editor for Newsweek. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow.
American Public Media.
It pays to think big, especially.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.